radioactive, and of course, which you can make fuel rods from, and you can make atom bombs, and then we find that in plutonium. But the other is just simply radioactive. Predominantly uranium-238, although some of the 235 is still in there. But it has an advantage from a military point of view. It, of course, is very, very hard. It's much harder than steel. It'll go right through steel. In fact, when you fire it, it gets on fire, so it'll burn right through the tank, kill everybody inside, and, of course, it will go into a hardened bunker. There's just nothing it won't go through. They use it on bombs. They use it on missiles. They use it on bullets, 50-caliber bullets. But unfortunately, when it burns, why, it leaves a uranium oxide, and that you can inhale that, you get into your lungs, it gets into your bones, it destroys your body. And of course, if you've never heard my interviews with Major Rocky, who was actually the military officer in charge of cleaning up the vehicles, the American vehicles that have been hit by our own weapons, actually friendly fire. I think there were probably maybe 30 or 40 vehicles. Some of them were armored personnel. Others were tanks. And he was assigned, given 100 men to clean these up so they could be used again. Well, they worked with him for a long time. And, of course, there was no way you could clean these up. They would always be contaminated. And I think they were buried. I'm not sure exactly what happened to them. But of the 100 men, my understanding is at least 30 of them are already dead.
My goodness.
And he is seriously ill. And this is what we're doing. This is a mass form of genocide. We are using radioactive weapons over there, and we're going to kill off most of those people, you know, in 20 years from now.
Well, I mean, I don't understand what, you know, we think we're doing over there. You know, I mean, it's these like mass corporate killing to me. I mean, these people call themselves Christians in the White House. I mean, what part of violence begets violence and thou shalt not kill, don't they understand?
I think that they do understand, but just because somebody says that they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian.
Well, that's true.
And I mean,
buffalo the American people into thinking.
Well, listen, I will tell you, I don't know if you ever heard me tell this story, but I was with a group of Christians that picked George Bush to run for the presidency. They call them the College of Cardinals. Don't ask what I was doing there, but I will tell you that there were only about two of us who attended those meetings who were not taken in. The rest of them were taken in. And really frightening that these are good people, really sincere Christians. But they felt, gee, he's going to win, and he professes to be a Christian. And he sat there, and he said, you know, Billy Graham led me to the Lord, and I'm a born-again Christian. He knew all the right answers. He could talk in Christianese. But I don't think it's accept a person by what they say. I think it's by what they do.
And yeah, Billy Graham
leading us into this war in Iraq is a terrible, terrible thing to have done, because they're not telling us the truth. We went into Iraq very simply because it would be the easiest of the countries over there to take control of, that we could then use it as a base for our planning. Well, no, it's more than that. We are going to take out Syria, we're going to take out Iran, and probably going to take out Saudi Arabia. We're going to dominate that whole area.
You heard lately Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney have all been on television saying, we underestimated the insurgency or the perseverance of the insurgency. Like that's some kind of justifiable excuse for what we're doing over there now. You know, I mean, it's like, that's their new, saying, you know, it's like, yeah, well, the reason things are bad over there is because we underestimated the insurgency. Well, it's like, you know, it's really an admission of just such a horrible failure of catastrophic proportions, you know. I don't know. I don't just get how the American people can sit there and watch this dunk on TV night after night and just not get outraged by it. I thank God for this radio station we have here in Austin with you and, you know, Jack Blood and all these guys on there, because you guys are the only place I can go to get some reality. You know, the rest of it's just so full of bunk. It just confuses me to how the American people are duped by this. You know, I mean, I'm not that intelligent of a human being, but it's easy for me to see through this.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little older than you are, Randy, and I can remember during the early years of the Vietnam War, I supported the war until I began to realize we weren't trying to win the war. We weren't there for the reasons we were being told. We were told we were there fighting communism. We were told if we did not stop the communists in Vietnam, then it would be Laos, and then it would be Cambodia, and then it would be Malaysia and Australia, and then New Zealand, and then San Francisco. Well, if they got San Francisco, that might not be too bad a thing, but the great tragedy is we were buffaloed, and it took me a couple of years to get smart enough to realize we weren't over in Vietnam fighting communism. We were there for reasons that they could never tell the American people, and the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie, and they knew it was a lie,
right.
But they could not admit that.
Now, my father was in Vietnam, you know, and I was in the lottery, you know, the draft lottery.
Right.
And fortunately, my number came up just barely over. I didn't have to go, but I mean, you know, when you're faced with having to go fight a war, like when the draft is in place, I mean, you start checking it out. And if it happened now, I guarantee you a lot of these, you know, yuppies kids that are out there not really paying any attention to it would suddenly open their eyes big time.
Well, I would hope that a lot of parents here in America would stop and think of this. You know, it's great. The initial victory in Afghanistan was wonderful. We killed 31,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda. We only lost about 4 or 5 men ourselves. Wasn't that a great victory?
Yeah,
these were all human beings, and they weren't our enemy. The Taliban, and if you read the report, staff report of the 9-1-1 commission, and that's not the foolish report that they published, but it's the one that's up on the internet, the staff statements, statement 16, page 19, you'll find that the Taliban did not want bin Laden to attack America. Most of the leaders of Al-Qaeda did not want bin Laden to attack America, at least according to their report and the information that they were able to put together. So then why did we go over and kill them all? They weren't our enemies, at least they weren't until we slaughtered them and treated them so badly and tortured them. And believe me, there was torture going on in Afghanistan. I mean,
Did you hear about the trailers? When the Northern Alliance started moving through, they just packed, like, these guys by the hundreds into these trailers where they couldn't even sit down. And then they closed the doors and just let the heat get them, and they just died this horrible, miserable death. I mean, there were thousands of people exterminated like that.
Well, at least hundreds of them. War is a terrible thing. I don't think that the average American really understands war. I mean,
the reality,
one thing when you see it on television, it's another thing when it's your son or daughter going to go, and they're going to renew the draft. The legislation's already in place in Washington, D.C. They just can't tell the American people until after the election.
Doctor, when you hear the term being used in the mass media that they say, over 10,000 of Iraqi civilians have been killed. Well, that term, when they say that over 10,000 civilians have been killed in this war effort, that doesn't include, and correct me if I'm wrong, the number of soldiers, Iraqi soldiers that they killed. Am I correct?
I really can't tell you, but I suspect there's a lot more than 10,000 on the other side who've been killed.
Well, when they're dropping 20,000-pound bombs on people, I mean...
But, Brad, it's more than the people who've been killed. It is the fact that many of them are going to die of the depleted uranium poisoning, because this permeates everything. Everything is covered with this uranium dust, and our boys are coming home. They talk about the 1,000 that have died. They talk about 5,000 who've been wounded. But they don't tell you that their last thing I saw, there were over 13,000, this was probably 2 months ago, 13,000 casualties, American casualties. Now, what were these? Well, only maybe 5,000 were wounded. The rest of them had these bizarre diseases, and sort of like the Gulf War illness. And I believe much of this is depleted uranium, but you see, it's already sort of a massive experiment. It's all experimenting to see what works. But what a better way to kill off large numbers of people than to contaminate them with a radioactive material that'll be there for 4 billion years. And the fact you're not reading about this, if you go to Europe, you'll read this in the newspapers all the time. You open the internet and even look under the Royal Society, the British Royal Society, and they're concerned about depleted uranium. And here in the United States, we're told, oh, that's just all talk. Those are the people who believe in black helicopters.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean about Europe. I'm a musician, and since 9/11 happened, I've spent 5 months in the Nordic countries, you know, over the last 3 years. And in Norway, for example, the people there, I mean, you know, I was playing in clubs for 6 nights out of the week. And when you're in one, like I was in Oslo for a month playing in one club for 6 nights out of the week, and you meet a lot of people. And let me tell you, everybody I talk to there, they were so against the Americans, and they were really against their government because the government had, the Queen had signed on with the Americans. She wasn't like actually sending troops over there, but she had signed on like part of this, like, you know, coalition of the billing or something, you know, and the people were just irate at their own government for, like, even saluting and going along with the Americans. 99% of the people over there in Norway are totally against this American effort. And I've spent a month in Switzerland, right outside of Zurich, in a little town called San Moritz, which is up in the Alps.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for a month and talked to all kinds of people, you know, and they just are totally against it. I've spent several months in Denmark, and it's the same way there. You know, I mean, those people there are so in tune. I mean, you know, they portray Bush on the front page of the paper as a, you know, a chimpanzee with a leash in his hand, and at the end of the leash is a poodle, and that's Tony Blair, you know, the cartoon character. That's on the front page of the paper there, you know, I mean. Americans don't really have a clue to what the perception of the of our behavior is in the rest of the world.
But I see, Randy, where we miss what this is all about, behind everything that's going on politically are the spiritual forces. If you listen to my programs regularly, you realize, of course, that there are spiritual forces that are drawing us into this war, and the war is not going to end. Our boys are not coming home in a year or 2 years. They're going to be there indefinitely because we are going to take out Iran, and all you need to do is read the material being put out by the members of the Project for the New American Century, people like Frank Gaffney and Gary Bauer. Gary Bauer is one of our great Christian leaders, William Bennett, and they're all talking and pushing us towards this idea of a war. We're going to have to go to war with Iran because Iran's threatening to attack Israel and maybe even attack the United States. Oh, we've got to go after Iran. Well, Iran is a terrorist nation, but the Committee to Power and the Ayatollahs to Power. Our CIA back in 1979, I remember 1979, wondering why would we topple the Shah of Iran and bring to power these radical Islamic leaders who hate America. And in 1979, it didn't make any sense.
Well, it's really crazy. In 1952, we're the ones that put the Shah in power.
You're absolutely right, when we toppled Mossadegh. So maybe what we ought to do is cut off all the funds to the federal government.
That's a great idea.
And, of course, have us stop interfering in other countries.
Yeah, quit meddling in other people's business.
Right. We hang on here. We're just going to have to take a quick break, and then I'll give you a chance to sort of wrap up your thoughts. All right. And this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and sort of open lines this evening. Our regularly scheduled guest probably was waylaid there, but we're looking forward to having him on sometime real soon. Certainly one of my favorite guests, Dr. Garth Nicholson. We'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. For only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world. And Republic.